Before George Clinton oversaw his funk empire, he ran a barbershop. In a moment, an excerpt of a 1989 interview with George Clinton. Here's more music from Clinton's new CD, The Awesome Power of a Fully Operational Mothership.
Funk, 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 Lord.
George Clinton, welcome to Fresh Air.
Yeah, I just got defleed and got the ticks off of me. I got my doggy bag, and I'm going to go get my rabies shots, and I'll be ready for them. How you doing, baby?
Okay. What got you back in the studios and on the road after 5 years?
Oh, I got tired of laying up being an old dog and not learning new tricks. So I said, let me get back out there, because, you know, when rap started getting heavy like it is now, I said, that's an old trick right there. I can do that. So here I am, back out here talking stuff.
Well, I want to play the first hit that you had back when your group was called The Parliaments.
Oh, my God. Ooh, luscious. You know, that was a big record in Detroit. That record broke right here in Detroit. I was back at the barbershop and giving up for a minute.
Well, here it is, George Clinton's first hit back from 1967, I Just Want to Testify. From 1967, that's George Clinton, The Parliaments.
Well, it sounds good to hear that again.
Yeah, it sounds really good. You were saying that when that record was a hit, you were working for Joe Bett, the publishing company of Motown Records. I once read you say that there was a lot you didn't like about Motown. You didn't like the idea of everybody in the group dressing alike and doing the same steps.
Not that we didn't like it. We loved it. But we just couldn't see ourselves overcoming the Temptations or the Pips. First of all, the Temptations was from here, and the criteria for that, you know, at that time was height, you know, 6 feet. Matter of fact, they all were 6 feet. And we were like 5, 6, 2, 3, you know, I mean, we was all over the place. It wasn't uniform. And the routines and things we had perfect. And the suits, of course, we had perfect. And the styles was perfect. But there was no way to outdo the Pips with the routine. They were the best routine and group that I've ever seen. And the Temptation had the perfect image, plus this was home for them. So it wasn't that we didn't like it. It was just no way for us to overcome the competition within the company. So we just threw the suit. And plus, it was hard to keep ties alike or shirts clean. Anyway, that was the hardest part of all. And so it was convenient when we realized that hippies and rock and roll and blues was the exact opposite of what we had been into all our life, because we could do this having fun. We'd wear the clothes bag as opposed to the suit. We'd take the suit out and throw it down and cut holes in the clothes bag and put it on. You know, and it became just a big joke at first. But the music was always, like, very soulful, churchy, you know, like Maggot Brain, psychedelic. You know, nobody had seen black groups doing psychedelic. They used to call us Temptations on Acid. James Brown on acid, you know, but it always worked. And so we just, you know, changed our whole thing and went that way. So it wasn't that we didn't like the routines and things. It's just that it was convenient for us to go a different route.
That's George Clinton's Atomic Dog. How did you start moving from singing to also producing and doing these really far-out rhythm tracks? I know you were always producing. You produced the Parliaments records, but it really became like a specialty of yours.
Well, after I realized that it was going to take more than one group to survive and, you know, and make it, any one group, it could be stopped any kind of ways or just be stopped because they're not good enough. But I think if you have a number of outlets for your stuff, when one style is saying that you're over with, another one will be saying that, oh, this is the new thing. So not only did Parliament Funkadelic, we did Bootsy, you know, as an offshoot to Brides, the Horny Horns, everybody that was in the band. So that gave me a lot of different outlets because so many members in the band can write and would have liked to have their own group, but they didn't want the hassles. And so I'm always continually cutting music and trying to keep another thing happening because when they say it's over with this planned obsolescence trip, you know, if you ain't got but that one record, you got a problem.
Mm-hmm. Well, you not only have a lot of different bands that you've created and produced, you also have different alter egos that you've performed under, like Dr. Funkenstein.
Dr. Funkenstein, Mr. Wiggles, Sir Nose.
Would you describe one of your alter egos for our listeners who haven't seen you perform?
Okay, well, Sir Nose, you know, I will never dance. I should never dance. Nobody can make me dance. I don't even make love. That voice, you know, harmonized on it, made it real high. But the voice was actually, I was imitating one of the guys that used to work in the barbershop, or used to come to the barbershop all the time. He had, you know, all the girls liked him. He was real cool, but he, as far as I was concerned, he was crazy. I mean, this dude stabs his car, you know, but he was a fun dude, and everybody liked him, and he was cool, but at the same time, he was a nut. And when I told him, like, you know, maybe 6-7 years ago that I had been imitating him with that voice, it tickled him because, you know, he's a grown man now and he remembered those things. But most of the voice, I usually use a character out of the barbershop because, you know, the thing in the barbershop is to get up and tell lies. When I saw Sugar Ray fight Joe Louis in 27, Richard Pryor always do it. Those are the kind of things that always happen in barbershop. And I found that they work good on record. You know, like, make my funk the P-funk. I want my funk uncut. All of those are, you know, slang that's used, like, in the streets or in the barbershop. And you find more of it in the barbershop than you do anywhere. So a lot of the characters were based on people who I know their personality was penetrating when I did it. Dr. Funkenstein was like a FM disc jockey. WEFUNK, We Funk, home of the extraterrestrial brothers, bringing you music to get your together by... You know, and all of those things were like just different places I know that was penetrating. And I knew that the DJ was missing off of radio. They had started doing the cartridge thing. So the personalities that you used to hear on the radio, like, let me see. Attention on radio station jocks. You got to be serious slamming on my box. Because when I try my best to get into the decibels up so high that my neighbors call the cops. So when the thing get to tweaking, you know the groove is peaking. I mean harder than a cinder block. Okay, I know you know what I mean. I keep a party tweaking on my record machine. You know, and those kind of things, or those kind of jocks is like missing off a radio now. And, you know, And I figured, well, if I put this on Mothership Connection, it was the right thing at that time. And it's what most rappers tell me now that they got or they learned rapping from, the Mothership Connection album.
George Clinton, recorded in 1989. This is Fresh Air.